Well, North Carolina grades schools on an A to F system. Every school in the state, every public school receives a grade like that. But does that actually measure the quality of a school, or to what extent does it just measure the level of poverty? We're joined now by Jamie Detsey, who's the executive director of the Chatham Education Association, talking about educational associations and school foundations in general, but also this particular issue that has been facing the state for a while and will be facing the state this year and beyond. Jamie, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Aaron, for having me.
So what do we know about the correlation or the lack thereof between the grades that a school gets and the typical measure of, I said poverty, but the measure that we use to measure that is the percentage of students who receive free and reduced lunch. So is there a correlation and how significant is it?
Well, right now, and since 2015, the state of North Carolina has been giving an A through F grading system through all public charter and all public schools in North Carolina. And currently, it's measured on 80% student achievement and 20% growth. Mm-hmm. So student achievement can be anything from EOG scores, and growth is how much your child has grown within the last year. So if you look and you take a graph and you put, let's say I'm from Chatham County, if you put all the Chatham County schools on a graph, what you'll see is as the free and reduced lunch rate increases, grades go down. And this is similar across the state.
And we're looking at this graph right now. It's not a hypothetical graph. We're looking at it, and it's striking, the correlation. There is not an exception, it doesn't look like, to this rule at all. If you're a school that gets about 35% or fewer of your students receiving free and reduced lunch, you get a B. If it's 40% up to 70%, you get a C. And if it's above 70%, you get a D. And there aren't any exceptions here.
It's basically just looking at socioeconomic patterns and tracking them across the state. Now, the state of North Carolina in the coming year, actually by September of this year, has to reevaluate how they're accounting for grades. There's a new law that came into place that replaces No Child Left Behind called Every Student Succeeds Act, and currently our system doesn't comply. So they're going to have to add additional indicators to measure how schools are evaluated. So I think this will actually make a big difference, and we will potentially not be tracking just student poverty across the state, and might be able to get into some great indicators. Some of the things we're looking at are test scores, growth, which we already have, but English learning progress, which is huge in Chatham County, and also graduation rates in high school, and some less quantitative measures, school climate, culture, and character development, which I would love to see as a parent if I were going into a new district to evaluate a school.
Speaking with Jamie Detsey, who's the executive director of the Chatham Education Association. More on the association in a minute. This A through F grading scale isn't measuring the number of students who receive free and reduced lunch. It just happens to be this very, very strong correlation. So what is the actual effect of poverty or socioeconomic statistics on the schools that's leading the A through F system to be this way when it comes to different grades for different schools?
It's because they're tracking student achievement well over student growth. Student achievement starts when a child's born. Those that are living in poverty are often not given the opportunity that those are that are living in higher wealth districts. And that can be anything from the number of words you hear from the minute you're born to the type of preschool that you attend. So when you go to kindergarten, are you actually ready for kindergarten? Are you behind your peers already? So these students get behind well before they get to our public school system. And this indicator right here that they're using as far as doing 80% on achievement and 20% on growth just doesn't show us anything besides the rate of poverty in North Carolina.
So I'm hearing you say that you want, among other things, more of a focus on growth. And that seems to be what I'm hearing across the board from everyone that I hear who talks about this issue. I spoke with a guy from the Fordham Institute, which is a conservative, very pro-school choice, really excited about Betsy DeVos kind of organization. Mm-hmm. They were 100% on board with growth over achievement. Al Franken, when he was grilling Betsy DeVos in that that confirmation hearing that got so much play and went viral, the question that Al Franken asked that stumped Betsy DeVos was growth versus achievement. And Franken followed that up by saying, because I've been a proponent of growth and I've made that no secret. So now you've got people on the right and on the left. We've got you here saying this. Is there anyone saying that achievement is the way to go to look at schools? Because I feel like everyone is saying growth, growth, growth.
I would say that there's obviously somebody saying achievement when they created this accountability system to begin with. They must have thought achievement was an indicator. But as you know, as every parent knows, when your child grows from year to year, that's what you're looking for. Whether your child is dyslexic and struggling but still growing, or your child's in an AIG program and needs to grow. Mm-hmm. Both ends of the spectrum, parents want to see growth, and teachers do as well. And this is just not a fair assessment of how our schools are Chatham.
And just to reiterate, you mentioned a couple of other factors besides growth that you think that the system should be looking at. So what are those again?
Those are school culture, the community involvement, and character development. If I were somebody moving into North Carolina right now and I needed to evaluate as a parent which school I should send my child to, the first thing parents go and look at what the school grade is or what the statistics are from that school. And that's just not fair to any one school in this whole state. So you need to look beyond that. You need to take a tour of the schools. You need to talk to other parents, and specifically you need to talk to administrators and teachers within that school and talk more about what that school culture is and if you are a fit for that school.
Is there a way to measure school culture, or is that just fit by different parents?
From what can I understand, how they're going to measure school culture is probably going to be by parent feedback.
Okay.
And so it's definitely not going to be quantitative in any way, and it's going to be subjective. But I do believe that if you walked into a school, you could probably get a good sense of the school culture.
Speaking with Jamie Detsey again, Executive Director of the Chatham Education Association, this is an issue that is really facing the General Assembly this year. I mentioned the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA, which is requiring the state to submit a proposal to the federal government for how they're going to measure school success. Every state across the country is doing this year, so the General Assembly is going to be focused on this. This is something that we can all get involved in if we want our schools to focus on certain things over others. This is the year to get in touch with our elected representatives. Speaking about the Chatham Education Association, and I know we've got public school foundations, local school foundations all over the state in a lot of different school districts, what is the importance of having a local school foundation? What is the work that you do?
I'd say the general purpose of a public school foundation is to raise public dollars that complement the current local budget. Chatham Education Foundation does this in a number of ways. We garner donations from small and large corporations. We get individual donors, and we have family and community foundations that support us. But another big point of the Chatham Education Foundation is increasing resident support. So many folks in Chatham County, especially in the northern part of our county, are transplants to North Carolina. And it's often hard to get an understanding and a feel for your schools if you're not involved. And Chatham Education Foundation gives you an opportunity to do that. We give an opportunity for donors to come in and look at some of the things that we're doing. We support classrooms and students with resources. We support teachers with growth by giving scholarships for professional development. And we support students in need by providing one of the most basic things, and that's access to books. And I feel that when residents and donors get involved with the community schools, it only makes the district stronger.
All right. Speaking with Jamie Detsey again, Chatham Education Association, we got to let you go in a second, but how can people get involved? How can people find out more about the Chatham Education Association, and how can people get involved directly with the association if they want?
I think the first thing to do is to visit our website, and that's chathameducationfoundation.org, and you can go through and look at a list of our programs. And if there's an email address on there, it's actually info@chathameducationfoundation.org. Give me an email and let me know what you're interested in. We have a lot of opportunities and volunteer opportunities throughout the county and great ways to give back to the students and the teachers in Chatham County Schools.
Jamie Detsey, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.